Film Nerds Unlimited.
Light.
Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs.
Darkness.
Matt Scalise, editor of FilmNerds.com. Ben Stark of Wonder Mill Films.
The balance.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
It's a great day.
It is. It's a celebration, a Star Wars celebration. So it's Star Wars celebration week or day or something. I honestly don't know what the hell is going on because there's May the 4th that's coming up, and I thought that was something special. And then there's D23, and I don't know when I'm supposed to like Star Wars, but apparently.
This is just a thing that they do every year now, basically. It's like the official convention of Star Warsness.
So what days of the year am I not supposed to be hyped for Star Wars? Because it seems like it's a tremendous amount of the year.
The week that a new Marvel movie is coming out. You can take a break.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, enough of that. Down to brass tacks. We just saw the trailer for Rian Johnson's Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. That's the full title. What do you think of this trailer for this movie?
Well, I have to say, because now we have something to compare it to, which we didn't have for J.J. Abrams' first trailer for The Force Awakens. And, everything about this whole process, I think, has made us curious. I don't want to say skeptical, but just kind of like, hey, I wonder why they're not doing it exactly the same way as they did for The Force Awakens, which we love so much. And, this trailer, we're way closer to release date when we're getting this trailer. First of all, I think Ben Flanagan pointed out it's 6 months after the Force Awakens trailer was first released. And I have to say also, this is truly a teaser trailer. I mean, this is a very short trailer. I think one of the hallmarks of a teaser trailer is that you don't actually see anyone's mouth move when you're hearing dialogue. So you only hear some voiceover because they maybe haven't totally synced it all up yet in the post-production process. And that's what we get here. There's some voiceover from Mark Hamill and Daisy Ridley, which is awesome. It's cool to hear Mark Hamill's voice again as Luke Skywalker. There are some incredible shots. I mean, they trotted out a couple of key just jaw-dropper shots in this trailer. And those were fun to see. I might be proven wrong once I go back and look, but this feels a lot shorter than that first Force Awakens trailer was. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I think it just lingers on a few things longer, but I don't think so. I think they're about the same length. I think they're both about 2 minutes. I don't know if this one reveals as much or shows as much because I think the shots maybe hold longer. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's no point in being scientific about
it probably feels that way because that first Force Awakens trailer was such a big thing because we were seeing so many things that we had not seen in a long time from a trailer for a new movie. We saw X-Wings and the Millennium Falcon, and there was no real
half
moment
this,
like that.
Half of this takes place on a set that was in the last movie. Of the last movie. Yeah, so it all feels a little bit familiar, and that's
but it's great.
Cool.
I do think what I was looking for more than anything is, number one, what is the Rian Johnson Star Wars movie going to look like? And to the best that they could show us, what's it going to feel like? And I think this trailer did give a pretty good sense of that, or at least I hope it did. Because it is, J.J. Abrams did a lot of, I love Force Awakens. It'll be really hard to top that. It was a very, kinetic feeling movie. There's a lot of brightly colored action happening. The camera's moving a lot in dramatic ways. And this movie, I think we all felt like just where the narrative left off, there was going to be a little more digging into the characters, you know, going a little further into the new sort of status quo of this universe that they've set up. And I think the trailer seems to indicate that a little bit. There are a lot more sort of character-focused shots in this trailer. There's close-ups of people's faces. There's extremely long, that one extremely long shot of,
yep,
of Rey training on the side of the mountain is probably the biggest takeaway shot I have from this,
yep,
trailer.
That's the moment
so
of the
great
trailer for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But,
you know,
I mean, Rian Johnson, he's a widescreen filmmaker. You know, he talks a lot about being influenced by Sergio Leone. And I think in shots like that, you see that.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's a combination here of, we're going to give you some great dialogue scenes that you're going to want to stay in, and you're going to want to hear what they have to say to each other and what it tells us about the characters and their relationships to each other. But there's also those big, you know, epic feeling, wide action stuff, which I'm also excited about. There's a cool, I would say, as far as like the new environments go, which is kind of another hallmark you always look for in a Star Wars movie, is what's the new planet they're going to show us? You know, what's the big battle scene going to be? And we get a little glimpse of this sort of fight out in the desert where there's sort of two fronts heading towards each other. That's got some promise to it.
They're putting down road stripes, right? Like red, they're paving,
oh, is that
a road.
What that is?
And no, I don't know. But that's what it looked like. Because like, they had like ink or something coming out the bottom,
yeah,
of the ships.
Yeah, they're like spraying
red
out of the back of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely cool looking. We get a shot of Carrie Fisher looking,
yeah,
at, you know, the sort of mission control area that we probably saw in the last movie too. There was a lot said during the panel before, leading up to the trailer, about Carrie Fisher. And of course, you know, she having recently passed away, you're going to hear a lot of praise about an actress like that. But there was certainly, from Kathleen Kennedy and Rian Johnson, a lot of talk about how strong her performance is in this movie and how key it is to the movie. And I'm pretty anxious to see, you know, more of her performance in this movie for sure. But I think the big focus of the promotion for this movie today, which the panel was obviously also part of it, in addition to the trailer, you know, was the emphasis on everybody's relationships to each other and the sort of revelations that will be made in this movie regarding that. And I think that's going to be a big focus of this movie. Is I would say the main focus of The Force Awakens is introducing us to these new characters.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some hints made here and there about how they tie in, how they relate to the legacy characters, but really that was not the focus of that movie. And I think that probably is going to be a bigger focus in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, and that's awesome. You know, that's one cool thing, is that this movie is being, as far as I can tell from this teaser, is being sold heavily on The Force Awakens and the characters in that. I mean, the magical moment of the Lucasfilm logo with Rey's theme playing underneath it just makes me so happy that they're so confident in that last movie. They're so confident in the character of Rey and her ongoing story, and in the character of Kylo Ren and Poe and Finn. So that's one thing that it's so encouraging that you've got this, you know, this whatever ninth installment in this ongoing series, and they're not trying to sell it on 1977. You know, they're selling it to you based on these new ongoing forward-looking characters, and that's really exciting.
We hear, not only do we hear Rey's theme in this trailer, we also hear the Kylo Ren theme.
Yes, yeah.
And to me, that is, again, a sign that The Force Awakens made an impact, that they feel confident enough to say, you know, look, the Force Awakens trailer, of course you're going to put the classic Star Wars
theme in
that trailer.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, we've not only built characters that are strong enough that the first face we show you in the new Star Wars trailer is one of the characters we established in The Force Awakens when we see Daisy Ridley's face, but we're also going to play two themes that you never heard before The Force Awakens, and I think it's fair to say they're impactful. If, at least for me as a fan who's seen the movie maybe two or three times now, or probably, to be fair, probably more like four or five times, those themes, I mean, I can hum them for you right now. They're very recognizable, and they stuck, and I would say they're both among John Williams' most iconic feeling work that he has done in the last couple of decades. I think that was one of the really one of the most surprising, you know, pleasantly surprising things about Force Awakens for me, and all the new stuff that was added to the Star Wars franchise was John Williams is still making new contributions that are sticking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think since Harry Potter, probably, in terms of, you know, immediately recognizable themes, probably his best theme work. Hey, how do you feel about Finn getting Cyclops? Like, his only shot in the trailer is him sleeping in, like, a cryo bed or whatever,
Cyclops.
In a hospital bed.
I don't get the reference. Was Cyclops like?
Oh, like in, you know, like in the X-Men movies, he's like always marginalized and like taken out of action. And then in the third movie, like in the first movie, he's just kind of like punked out. And then the second movie, he's like, you know, turned into a zombie. And then the third movie, he just.
Well, the difference is I actually like Finn, and he was my favorite.
Oh, I love him.
And,
yeah.
I mean, arguably my favorite character from Force Awakens.
Which is why I reacted that way. I was like, oh, come
no,
on.
No, sure.
Like, I just wanted a little bit more of him.
I mean, I would be hopeful that he will be brought in a more significant way than just being sick the whole time. But, you know, it was certainly a factor in Empire Strikes Back, which I know everybody's going to be dying to make comparisons between these two movies as we get closer to it. But, you know, that there's a significant portion of that movie where Luke is, you know, injured or banged up or just not fully involved in the story. And I don't know if that's an intentional parallel or what. But, yeah, I mean, we really didn't see much of anybody in the trailer outside of Rey and you know, we hear Luke speak. But, like, you know, there's really only one shot Poe, I guess. I feel pretty confident everybody's going to get their own substantial arc. They did introduce a new cast member at the panel today. They didn't really say anything about her character at all. I think it's interesting they're still adding new characters to this that they're trying to give their own, you know, their own arcs. I guess there were a few others in Force Awakens that I guess either didn't survive that movie or won't be around for this one. You know, I don't think it's going to be just entirely focused on our three main protagonists again. I'm sure they're like the other movies, they'll probably give us a few side characters to follow in B plots.
Snoke?
No Snoke. No Snoke whatsoever in the trailer.
Where you at, Snoke? I'm certainly not discouraged or anything by it. I just wish I'd seen a little bit more action. But yeah, I'm encouraged that it's so focused on Rey, because that's the driving force here.
By the time we get to the episode 9 trailer, there's going to be a shot of a pile of dust with a sign that says this used to be Darth Vader's helmet. I promise.
Somebody sneezes and they're like, oh shit. The dust scatters across. Yeah, I was going to say, I hope that in The Last Jedi, it's just huge action scenes, like intercutting, and then in the middle of them, they just cut back to Finn's hospital bed, and there's like beeping. It's just like a machine beeping and like the sound of him breathing, and that's it. That's all. That's every scene is that. I'm excited. This is all I need to see. If I say this every time, if all they did was show me that new poster, which is pretty rad.
Oh,
and
the poster's great.
Teaser,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. If they just gave me those two things, that's all I need to see. Last time with The Force Awakens, I tried so very hard to avoid that expanded trailer, and then eventually broke down and watched it, and it was pretty great. But still, it's like, oh man, I wish I had just been in the theater to see so many of those moments for the first time. So I'm going to do my thing where I'm going to say this is all I'm going to watch for the rest of this until the movie comes out, but I'm probably lying.
Well, I appreciate your principle stance on that, and you know I can't lie that and say, I mean, if this was all I got to see, I'm still going to be there on the opening Thursday or whatever it is of this movie.
Yeah.
But I'm going to want to watch the next trailer, and I'm definitely going to dig into it, because you know, I'm just, this, the curiosity of what's coming next is a big part of what drives me as a nerd in this stuff. And I'm anxious to see a little bit more of everybody else. I'm glad that they focused this trailer on Rey. She should be the focal point of the franchise right now, and they earned that with The Force Awakens and what they did for her character, and what Daisy Ridley did with the performance, too. She is rightfully the focus of this franchise now. I hope that, you know, that the rest of the Star Wars nerd community gets on board with it, because these movies can't be about Luke and Anakin forever. You know, it's just not a practical reality. Nobody, and by the way, I think that it's not, I would feel bad about this if I was the first person to ever speculate this, but there's a lot of people that obviously already think that this franchise is focused on a Skywalker 2. And, you know, they even joked about it during the panel. They're not going to say, but I think it's funny to me that there are still some sort of purists who don't think that they somehow view this part of the franchise now as being different or less than the other movies, because they're not focused on Luke Skywalker or Anakin Skywalker. And to me, I have zero problem saying that I think that Rey is a more interesting and well-performed character than Anakin ever was. And as much as I like Luke, you know, it's a great character. I probably feel better about her chances to be a character that I enjoy watching movie to movie. I mean, look, people love Luke, but those movies aren't really, I don't think the Star Wars phenomenon is what it is just because of Luke and Mark Hamill. You know, I think Han Solo played a huge part in it, and Leia played a huge part in it, and I think what Daisy Ridley did in that first movie and what they did with the Rey character, it's a legitimate, likable heroine, and they earn every character trait and every moment, and I'm excited to see what comes from it next. I think most people feel that way. Maybe not some hardcores, but it's a fantastic character to build a franchise around.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know if I'll agree with, ranking her above Luke and Anakin, but, you know, certainly at this point, you know, I'm okay with departing from their stories. I don't need everything to be tied to, well, what's going on with Luke? As long as I'm getting some kind of context. But yeah, I mean, that's my thing with all of these new Star Wars movies is like, well, that's the fun of an expanded universe, is to actually expand. And yet so far we've gotten another Skywalker movie, which is fine, and I liked, and it makes sense to follow, you know, Luke to Kylo Ren, who, you know, at this point is the youngest Skywalker. And then we've gotten that, we've gotten Force Awakens, we've gotten this, which is a Skywalker movie, and then we're getting a Han Solo movie, and then we got a Rogue One movie that's all about Darth Vader and the Rebellion. So it's like, Well, guys, if you're going to actually expand this universe, give me some stories that aren't about the three major characters from the first movie in 1977.
I definitely feel your frustration
in the saga movies.
About,
like,
yeah, yeah. I think that eventually, if this franchise, and Kathleen Kennedy's probably aware of this, and Disney probably is, you know, as we saw, unfortunately, in between the last two movies, you know, people die. People in real life don't live forever, and if they want Star Wars as a franchise to live forever without having to remake it, which I don't think anybody wants, then you have to create new characters around this universe, and you can still honor your original characters and what was built, but you can't just recast Carrie Fisher. You can't recast Princess Leia forever. And honestly, you know, I think that was a big part of the problem that I had with the prequel movies is I don't want to watch Ewan McGregor play Obi-Wan. You know, I want to watch these people move on and grow and watch it all develop naturally. So hopefully that's what they're doing and what they're thinking is, you know, keep building it. And I mean, right now, I mean, I could be wrong and somebody could misplay this and eventually these movies aren't good anymore and I get tired of it. But right now I feel like I would watch Star Wars movies for the rest of my life. Just keep adding to it. Keep building on to the saga. And you can do that if you put the right foundation down and you plan and you create new characters that are worth following.
Whoa. What is happening? Nope. Okay, and we're back. So just in general, this works for you, right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited about it. I'm ready to watch another Star Wars movie, as I probably will be every year for a long time.
Yeah, me too. But here's the thing. No matter how excited we are about this, we know that at the end of this road, Colin Trevorrow is directing the one after this.
No, listen, you can't let it all hang over you. There's always the hope that as this, and I'm gonna be relentlessly optimistic. In the sports world, we call this sunshine pumping, Stark.
Okay.
But this is my theory of why it's okay. I think that the first two chapters of this trilogy are being built by the two filmmakers that we trust the most, and I think they probably have an end in mind, along with Kathleen Kennedy and the Lucas story group. So I think, hopefully, this is all being set up so that Colin Trevorrow is, you know, being tasked with coming in and executing the job that has already been put in place for him. And the blueprint is there. The characters are already developed. And, you know, probably in some cases, the major action set pieces are probably already thought out and maybe even, you know, pre-produced to some extent. So,
wow, that makes me feel no
better about it.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
I don't think it's going to blow anybody. Look, I'd be shocked.
It's cool.
The car
has
stunning
cruise control on it, so just put the toddler in the driver's seat and it'll be fine.
I think that, you know, maybe I'm slightly influenced by the fact that Return of the Jedi kind of played out that way. There really wasn't that much story left to tell, and they stretched it out over a movie and said, well, let's just wrap it up, you know. let's get it done and we'll be fine. And just don't screw it up. And they didn't screw it up. You know, they didn't really advance the characters at all in that story. The characters in Return of the Jedi are pretty much the same that they are at the end of Empire Strikes Back, and they just get their stories resolved. And I would hope maybe that that's where we are with this. Look, it would be great if every single movie was you know, life-changing, and we walked out of it, and it revolutionized the whole franchise in a positive way. But I don't think that's, A, what we're going to get from Colin Trevorrow, and B, what the kind of task that we want in his hands anyway. I'm still with you. I wish that we could have completed this deal with a person of equal proven stature to J.J. Abrams and Ryan Johnson. But let's, you know, I guess let's see where it goes.
I mean, he's totally not a bad director. Jurassic World is totally serviceable. He's just not on that level. And dude, I just want Abrams back. Like, I just want him to close it out. That's all. So
I'm still overall, I'm happy with what we're getting so far. Let's leave the spinoff movies out of this conversation and treat them as a separate thing for now. But this trilogy is, I mean, we're not even two-thirds of the way through it, but it's shaping up to be something that I'm really glad that they did, and that I feel like ultimately has been done with a great deal of respect both for the property and for the audience going to see it. I think they've given us something that makes it worthy of being called Star Wars, and they've also made sure that they created something worthwhile and new that the audience actually can appreciate as intelligent moviegoers.
Yep, it's 2017, and we're excited for Star Wars, and that says an awful lot 40 years after the original came out.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.